Today's shir is Masech, the Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Chuf Beis. We will begin Beis Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Kuf Chuf Aleph on the Beis. Two lines from the bottom. Ibailhu, they asked the following question. Es Yisrael, li Shvatim Iflug, or Adum Lekafra Gavri Iflug? When Es Yisrael was divided, how was it divided? Was it divided according to the Shvatim, according to the Rashbam? The Gemara's question is, does it mean that every Shevet got an equal share, and then after every Shevet got its share, then the people within that Shevet divided that share, that portion that they received amongst the people who lived, who were members of that Shevet? And according to that understanding, a Shevet with more people, the people within that Shevet will get smaller portions, whereas a Shevet with less people, the people within that Shevet would get bigger portions? Or was Eretz Yisrael divided according to the amount of people? And a Shevet with more people got a bigger share than a Shevet with less people, because we want every person in Eretz Yisrael to get a bigger share. There are Rishonim that say that certainly the consideration was according to the amount of people, and that it would be unfair that people in a smaller Shevet should get bigger portions than people in a larger Shevet. And because of that question, they say that the Gemara's question is focused on the Goyrel. Was the Goyrel only for the division of the Shvatim? But when we divided it amongst the families and amongst the people, there was no Goyrel? Or was the Goyrel, the focus is on the Goyrel, was the Goyrel only for the Shvatim, but within the families of the Shvatim, there was no Goyrel? A similar pshat that I saw some Rishonim suggest is that there was certainly a Goyrel both for the Shvatim and for the families within the Shvatim. The Gemara's question is about the Urim V'Tumim. As we know, as we discussed, that the Urim, and we will learn in Mitzvah Shem and Al-Shir, that the Urim V'Tumim was used in the division of Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara's question here is, when the Urim V'Tumim was used in the division of Eretz Yisrael, was it used only for dividing up the portions amongst the Shvatim, or was the Urim V'Tumim also used for dividing it amongst the people in the Shevet? But again, we're going to learn like the Rashbam tells us to learn. Eretz Yisrael, when Eretz Yisrael was divided, L'shvatim Iflug, was it divided into 12 equal portions representing each one of the Shvatim? Idilma, was it L'kafir Gavri Iflug, we took a census of the people so that every member of Klal Yisrael should get an equal share? Toshma, the Pasuk says, Api agarol t'cholot nechlosoi, but bein rav lamat. And the pasuk, what the pasuk means to teach us is that the Eretz Yisrael was divided according to the Goyrel, and according to the Goyrel, each Shevet should get their share, and that means that each Shevet got its share, and the consideration, again, this is the Rashbam's pshat, and the consideration was not people. The only consideration was the Shvatim. And once the Shvatim got their shares, then within the Shvatim, they obviously divided it according to the amount of people that were within that Shevet. Vaitanya, furthermore, says the Gemara, there's a brisa that teaches us, Asida Eretz Yisrael will eventually be divided to Schalik L'Shleish Asher Shvatim. The Eretz Yisrael will divide it into 13 portions, and Shemitchila, because when they first entered Eretz Yisrael, Loi Neschalka El Shnei Masa Shvatim, they were divided only within 12 Shvatim. And of course, the 13th Shevet that's going to get the Shear in Eretz Yisrael is Shevet Levi. And Rashbam says that, and Tosfos says the same pshat, that a mitzvah seven when Mashiach comes, Shevet Levi will get their own portion at Yisrael, as the Pasuk says, Shar Levi Echad. And the Smag says that when Mashiach comes, the Kahanim and Levim will get their own portion in Eretz Yisrael, not just in parts that will be annexed Eretz Yisrael. The Ran disagrees, and he says that the Pasuk that says Shar Levi Echad does not mean to portion in Eretz Yisrael proper, but referring to 12 special gates which will be erected in Yerushalayim, one for each Shevet. But in Eretz Yisrael proper, it seems the Ran holds the Levim won't get a share. The Torah tells us various privileges that the Kahanim and Levayim are entitled to Trumas and Maisris, and the Torah says explicitly that the Kahanim and Levayim will not get a share, a portion of Eretz Yisrael. And the Rambam, in fact, writes that a Kohen who takes a portion of Eretz Yisrael is in violation of this Isser, and we take the land away from him. The Rambam, however, says that only this Isser that we just mentioned only is in Eretz Yisrael proper. That means within the borders of what were given to the others. However, says the Rambam, if a Melech Yisrael conquers and annexes other lands, those other lands can be apportioned to Levim. The Ravid says that the right to receive Trumas and Maisris is linked to the fact that Kahanim and Levim do not receive a portion of Eretz Yisrael. Says the Ravid that the Kahanim should not be entitled to Truma of produce grown in next lands because they get a portion of those lands. And in fact, the Kesef of Mishnah says that the Ravid says makes most sense, and he says, according to the Rambam, that if a Kohanim are entitled to shares of annexed lands, they're also not entitled to Truma from those lands. And the Proshas Terachim explains, what that means is that one who grows produce on those lands is not obligated to give the Truma some Maisris, which he takes from his produce, to the Kohanim Levim for free. He says, we can't exempt somebody from the chiv of giving Trumas and Maisris. That's a chiv derais that we can't exempt them from. What we can do, says the Parashat Terachim, is that he has to take off Trumas and Maisris. Everybody's going to have to take off Trumas and Maisris and give it to the Kohanim and the Levim, but get paid for it. The Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, the Tzadikim and Beis, when it speaks about Tchias HaMesim, says that the Pasuk says, Nesatim menes Trumas Hashem L'Aaron HaKoyim. And says the Gemara, when this Pasuk speaking about giving the Trumas Hashem to Aaron HaKoyim was said, Aaron was no longer alive. And the Gemara says from there, that from here we see that it's going to be Tchias HaMesim. And Aaron is going to get a share of the Truma after Tchias HaMesim. So we see that after Mashiach, even at times of Mashiach, Kahanim will be receiving Truma. However, asked the Mishnah Melech, according to the Ravid, that says that Kahanim and Levim don't just get a share in Eretz Yisrael, but they're going to get a share in Eretz Yisrael proper. If they get a share in Eretz Yisrael proper, the Ravid says, they don't get Trumas and Maisris. So how can we say that Aaron is going to... So according to the Rambam, that it's only talking about an annexed lands, it's not a problem. But according to the opinion that says that it's speaking about Eretz Yisrael proper, and therefore since they're getting a share in Eretz Yisrael, they're not going to get Trumas and Maisris, we need to understand what does the Pasuk say that Aaron is going to get Trumas and Maisris when Mashiach comes, and that's a proof that Aaron is going to be alive if they're going to get a share in Eretz Yisrael. It's really not such a difficult kasha, a question according to the Parashas Terachim, because the Parashas Terachim said that they're going to get a share. All the Parashas Terachim said was that they're not going to get a share for free, but they're still going to get Trumas and Maisris. And the Pasuk is saying that when Aaron comes back, when Mashiach comes, he's going to get his share through Trumas, he's going to get a share, and maybe he's going to have to pay. Furthermore, the Gemara assumes that if one shevet got a better portion of Eretz Yisrael, and one shevet got a weaker share in Eretz Yisrael, how did they compensate for that? The shevet who got the better share had to pay the shevet who got the weaker share. Shenamar, so ben Rav Lamat. So that we have to take into consideration the shevet who got something more valuable versus somebody who got less valuable. Omar Rabbi Yehuda saw Beretz Yehuda a land piece of property of a saw in a Yehuda a shava is equal chamis seven begolol. How did they compensate for this? The way they compensated for this was that they paid to even out what everybody got. Furthermore, says the Gemara, "V'le'nischalk el begoyro." Eretz Yisrael was only divided through a goyro. Shneimar, as the pasuk says, "Ach begoyro." Furthermore, "V'le'nischalk el burim v'tumim." Eretz Yisrael was divided only through durim v'tumim. Shneimar, as the pasuk says, "Al pi ha-goyro." And the focus here is on the word "al pi." That means the Urim V'Tumim supported the Goyrul. So exactly what happened. Elazar Melubish Urim V'Tumim. Elazar, who was at that time the Kohen Gadol, was wearing the Urim V'Tumim. For Yeshua Kohen Yisrael, I'm the Lefonov. And Yisrael and all of Kohen Yisrael was standing there, the representative. The Klapish Shvatim. There was a box where they had in it the names of the 12 Shvatim. And then the Klapish Shvatim. And then there were the 12 areas, the pale portions of Eretz Yisrael, Menachem Lefanov, also standing there. V'haya mecham b'ruach ha-kodesh, Elazar through ruach ha-kodesh, Omer, Zvulun Oyrel, was going to do the Goyrel of Zvulun, v'tchum Akoy imoy, the area of Akoy is going to be his area, Taraf, and then they put their hands into the backs, b'klapish l'shvatim, and the box that had all the names of the Shvatim, followed by the Zvulun. And the name of Zvulun came first. Why is the Goyrul of Zvulun mentioned first? Zvulun wasn't the oldest or the first of the Shvatim in any way. So the Rashbam explains that that's exactly what the Gemara wants to say. There was nothing done deliberately. Everything was done in a way that nobody should be able to accuse them of doing something premeditated. Tosfos Rit says the reason that they mention Zvulun and first, and then they mention the Goyrul of Naphtali is because these are the Goyrul, they had their shares on the two extremes of Eretz Yisrael, on the north and on the south. And because they had their Goyrul on the two extremes of Eretz Yisrael, on the north and on the south, It makes sense that they should be mentioned first. We speak about the border of Eretz Yisrael, and then we work our way towards the middle. And then says the Gemara, Tarp Klupish Tchumim, and then they went up to the girl of the borders, and he got Akoy, which was in the north. So we see here everything was done with Ruach HaKodesh, with the Urim V'Tumim, supported by the Goyrul. The Chazar, and then Elazar did the same, Macham Baruch HaKodesh, Vam Naftali Oyle Tchum Genoiser. Naftali is going to get in the share of Genoiser. Oyle Mai, if that's what the Goyrul supports. Tar B'Klapish HaShvatim, Vala B'Yadin Naftali. They mixed into the backs of the Shvatim, and the Goyrul of Naftali came up. And then Tar B'Klapish HaTchumim, Vala B'Yadin Tchum Genoiser, and the area of Genoisa, which was his shear, came up as well. The Cain, and says the Braisa called Shevet v'Shlevet. And so happened with every Shevet. The Gemara Masechta Erevin teaches us, the Pasuk says, L'fnei Elazar HaKohen Yamoid. And we learn from that is that Yeshua is going to consult with Elazar in the Urim V'Tumim. Yet, says the Gemara, we never find that Yeshua ever consulted with Elazar. And the reason Elazar did not have that schus is because the Gemara says that Elazar once taught the halacha of giulim, of kashering, without Moshe Rabbeinu there.
and that's why he was punished. Says Tosfos, our Gemara just finished teaching us all how Elazar was so integrally involved in the division of Eretz Yisrael with Urim V'Tumim. So says Tosfos, what the Gemara over there means is that Yeshua was supposed to consult with Elazar to find out what to do. And we never have a case where that happened, where Yeshua consulted with Elazar. This was a geyrul, but it didn't happen with Elazar's active participation. It was just done. That's the way it's supposed to be done. The Rashbam makes the point, and that's how we learned the Gemara, that the Urim V'Tumim said their piece first, and after the Urim V'Tumim said their piece, then they did the geyrul, and the geyrul substantiated what was said through the Urim V'Tumim. Says the Gemara, like kechalukah shalom hazeh, and the Gemara says not like the division of Eretz Yisrael took place when they entered Eretz Yisrael at that time. Chalukah shel olam haba will look when Mashiach comes. Olam haza adam yesh le sodom lovan. A person has a grain field and le sodom paradis. Usually, different types of fields are used for different types of purposes. Some fields are good for growing grain. Some fields are good for trees. Olam haba en lecha kol adam karech ve'echad. Everybody in Eretz Yisrael, shein le bahar b'shvei lo b'emek. Everybody will have a portion and all different types of property, mountains, valleys, plains. And the Rayag Ramah says, when the Gemara says, le olam haba, means when Mashiach comes. Because the Rayag Ramah explains that there are going to be two stages. There's going to be a stage of Yemos HaMashiach, and there's going to be a stage of Olam Haba. He explains in the time of Olam Haba, there's going to be lo achil v'lo shtia, there won't be a need to eat and drink. So when our Gemara speaks about Olam Haba, it speaks about Mashiach, where it will be a time of Mashiach, but we'll still need to eat and drink. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says about Yecheskel's Nevuah, about how will the division of Eretz Yisrael look when Mashiach comes, the Meher B'Yameinu, V'shari ir al shmoi shifti Yisrael shorim shloish tzoyna sharuven echad shayhud echad shalevi echad. Every shevet will have what every other shevet has. V'akadosh baruch hu mechalek lam ba'atzmoi, and that division will be done by Hakadosh Baruch Hu himself. Shenemar v'esaretz shetepilu menach l'shifti Yisrael ve'elu machal koysom num Hashem. Hakadosh Baruch Hu himself will make that division. But says the Gemara, Ketanimius, what does the Brisa says? Shevetchila neschakel shnei maser shvatim, that the first division was for the 12 shvatim. Shma mina, we see from here, l'shvatim iflug, that the division was according to the shvatim, and not to the people. Shma mina, so the question that we began to share with is clearly answered, that it's given, that it was given according to the shvatim. So our Gemara teaches us the power of a geyrul. And the question that the Pesukim discuss is, how far does the geyrul have validity in halacha? The Shulchan Aruch Chayshe Mishpat Simen Kuf Nun Dalet Sif Gimel says that if the government gave you permission to open another door, gave you permission to open a door or window, you may open door or window. However, as we learned at the beginning in our Sechta, lo yiftach pesach keneged pesach or chaloin keneged chaloin. You have to be careful about hezekriah, not to intrude, invade the privacy of your neighbor. And the Ramah says, in bo shnayim liftach bas achas pesach neged pesach chaloin keneged chaloin. If two neighbors both at the same time want to open up a door or a window, mechemem en echos of chaver nena. If one has what to gain and one has nothing to gain, koifen al smidus doim, so we look at the person who has what to gain. However, v'mshneim kechaserim, they both have what to gain, yasub sharim beineim. So the Sivas asks, yasub sharim means that they should figure it out, they should make a compromise. Ask the Sivas, why should they make a compromise? why shouldn't they make a goyrel? Says the Nesivus that a goyrel is only used like in our Gemara. We were dividing a piece of property. So if we're dividing a piece of property, so there's a goyrel. Where we're opening up doors, when we're opening doors or opening windows, there we're not dividing a piece of property. And there the halacha is, we don't rely on a goyrel. And I saw the achronim explain what does the Nesivus mean to say. When we have two things that are perfectly equal, and the question is that who should get this piece and who should get that piece, that's something that we can rely on a goyrel. But if something is not perfectly equal, he says, for example, if we have a better piece of property and a weaker piece of property, of course they're going to have to figure it out. But in those cases, the halacha is that we should not rely. That's not where the Rama would recommend to make a goyrel. On the other hand, says the Tfuah Shor and other achronim, if both parties are willing to rely on a goyrel, then of course they can rely on the goyrel. And therefore, the halacha is we can make a goyrel. But the Rama says that's not the case where the halacha tells us a goyrel. That's what halacha says to make a pshura, a compromise. The Chishuk Echemed speaks about a situation where there were two candidates for a position. And both candidates for that position seemed to be equal in talent, and they didn't know who to give the position to. And they decided to rely on a goyrel. They made a goyrel. And let's say Reuven won the goyrel. And then later on, they found out that these two people weren't really equivalent and that Shimon had qualities that Reuven didn't have. And the question is, how do we look at the goyrel? Is the goyrel considered final? And since the goyrel is considered final, it can't be redone? Or do we say that once the goyrel was done, the goyrel is done? So he says there was actually a story in the city of Sered in Romania where there was a question of who should be appointed to be the Rav on the city. And the goyrel came out that Rav Shimon should become the Rav on that city. And at that, after the goyrel picked him, there were rumors about him. There were all different questions if he was really the right person, if he was qualified. There were different rumors about him. What do we do with that goyrel? So the Ksav Sofer was asked this question. And the Ksav Sofer says that based on our Gemara, where our Gemara says that all of Eretz Yisrael was divided through the goyrel, if somebody is afterwards going to question the validity of a goyrel, what we're doing is we're not just questioning the validity of the goyrel in that situation, but what we're doing is any goyrel that was done in all of history now comes into question. But the Chishuk Echemed says, of course, it's not a not really a perfect comparison. Because, for example, the goyrel in our Gemara was done 100% legitimately correctly. Since the goyrel in our Gemara was done 100% legitimately correctly, so the halacha says that we follow the goyrel. But we don't have a proof on a case where the goyrel was flawed, where the information that the goyrel was based on proved to be incorrect. We don't know if even under those circumstances we should follow a goyrel. So therefore, but he concludes that even though one can make an argument that the situation that the point that Ksav Sofer makes, that if we start questioning goyrels, then we're going to have to question every goyrel in history, is somewhat difficult to accept. Still, says the Chishuk Echemed, and to support what the Ksav Sofer says, we don't want to put goyrel into question. And because we don't want to put Goyrel into, because we don't want to put Goyrel into question, that's why we should at least, unless it's really strong reason, we should always accept, the Goyrel. But what we have from our Gemara is very clear that the Eretz Yisrael was divided according to the Shvatim, and after Eretz Yisrael was divided according to the Shvatim, then each Shevet, they divided amongst the people within the Shevet what the portion they divided in the Shevet, each one according to the portion that they got. I saw a similar question to what we just discussed, where there was a situation where there was a Yerusha left over by a father, and the father had some very expensive silver pieces, silver cups that he had for generations, and there was one that was very, very expensive, and then there was a second one which was less accepted, and then there was other things, but not the silver cups. And then it turned out that there was a mix-up. And the question was, how do we look at that situation? And the Shas Tshuvas Marie Levi Intigna discusses this question. And the question is, he's a nephew to Shalom Eshev. And the question that's really discussed is, how does the halacha look at the situation? Does the halacha say that the goyrel is a kinyan, and therefore, if the goyrel is a kinyan, so whenever we speak about kinyanim, there's a mekach tos, and if there was a mistake in the kinyan, that disqualifies the kinyan. Or do we look at a goyrel not as a kinyan, but rather we look at a goyrel as something that there's a sign in a shemayim? If we look at the goyrel as a sign in a shemayim, even if there was an error, maybe we should follow the goyrel, which is very much connected to the question that the Ksav Sofer says as well. Amamar says the Gemara, we said at the beginning of Ashir, Asida Eretz Yisrael Tishkalik L'Shleisha Shvatim. Eretz Yisrael were divided to 12 Shvatim. Idel Chaman asked the Gemara, we spoke about this already, who's going to get that share? Amrav Chizda L'Nasi. The Nasi is going to get that share. The Ksiv, the Melech HaMashiach. The Ksiv, as the Pasuk says in Yucheskel, for over the ear Yavdu Mikol Shifta Yisrael. The Melech, who is the over the ear, he works for the city, the entire population and everything that has to get done is his responsibility. He's going to go to Shir. Says the Gemara Amalei Rapopalama by Ema. Maybe what the Pasuk says is Runga Ba'ama, that the people of the country will work for the king, just like people work for the king now. Says the Gemara Leksiv, Leisakadatach, the Ksiv Anoisel Nosi Mizeh Mizeh, the Trumas HaKodesh Lachuzo Seir, that the king is going to get a share in the land itself, besides what he gets as king. Says the Gemara, we learned earlier, the way Eretz Yisrael was divided according to money. Shnema ben Rav Lamat. Says the Gemara, Lamai, what does that mean? Ilam l'shufa v'sanya, as we learned, that better property, the Shevet who got better property had to compensate the Shevet who got weaker property by paying them money. Ask the Gemara, Otvashavtoni Askinan, are we speaking about foolish people? Foolish people who are willing to trade Shir and Eretz Yisrael, which is something that will be there forever, for money? The money comes and goes, but the Shir that they have in Eretz Yisrael is going to be forever. Ella, says the Gemara, what's meant here is Kroiva Rechaika. What the Gemara means to say is that somebody who got the Gemara says, a person who got poor quality property, of course, got a larger share than a person who got better quality property. What the Gemara here was referring to was Kroiva Urechaika, property that was closer to Yerushalayim, because it's closer to the Beis HaMikdash, and everybody had to be Oyle Regal 3 times a year. And by having your portion closer to Yerushalayim, it's an easier trip. and the person who is further is from Yerushalayim, A, has to travel harder to get to Yerushalayim, B, is closer to the lands of the Akum, and because of that, they got weaker property. Says the Gemara, Ketanai, this is actually Machlokes Tanoim. Rabbi Elazar b'Ksofim Halua, the person who got a property closer to Yerushalayim paid to the people who got property further from Yerushalayim. And Yerushalayim b'Kakalua, the way it was even out, that is a person who got this attractive property closer to Yerushalayim, the person who got the property that was closer to Yerushalayim, the way he compensated the person, the Shvatim, who got property further from Yerushalayim, was by giving them a bigger share of property. The Paiskim discuss that it was very common when seats were sold in shuls that they had what was known on the Mizrach side. And the seats on the Mizrach side were considered the most chashva seats, the most special seats. And when people bought seats, they would pay extra to have a seat in that spot. The shul expanded, and what happened was that when they built the shul originally, there were six seats on the two sides of the Aron HaKadosh, six and six. And now there were nine seats. And the question is, now we have three extra seats. Where do the people who sat originally sit? What do we do with extra seats, etc.? So the Paiskim are seemingly of all the opinion. If there was originally six seats on each side of the Aron HaKadosh, and there were six people sitting in those seats, they retain the chazakah of having those six seats. And the people on the three extra seats, now we have on each side three new seats that they could be sold. The question is that the Chasam Sofer discusses, the Chasam Sofer says that the people who had the seats originally, their seats became more valuable. Because what happened now is, when you have one of six seats, and then it's one of six. When you have one of nine, and your seat is closer to the Aron HaKadosh, your seat becomes more valuable. And therefore, says the Chasam Sofer, that even though these people retain the chazakah that they have on their seats, we don't remove them from their chazakah, but says the Chasam Sofer, that the seats that they have, the Chasam Sofer says that they're going to have to pay. Just like in Al Gemara, we learned that somebody that's closer to Yerushalayim has to pay for that privilege of being closer to Yerushalayim. Here too, because they're closer, they're going to have to pay for that privilege. Says the Gemara, we learned earlier in the Shir, V'lein Eschalka El Begayrol. Etz Yisrael was divided through a Geirol. Shenema Ach Begayrol. Tana, the Brice says, the Pasuk says, Ach Begayrol. Yotza Yeshuv HaKalev. Yeshuv HaKalev's share, they got their share not through a Geirol. Lamai, im says the Gemara, ilam de loy shaku klal, that they didn't get a share in Eretz Yisrael, says the Gemara, that's inconceivable. Hash de lav de du shakul, as we learned earlier on Daf Kojet Ches, that they got the share of all the Meraglim, the Dume boy, they're certainly not going to lose their own share. Ella, shalai not begairal, they didn't get the share through begairal, ella piyashan. Yeshua, says the Gemara, where do we see Yeshua got his share through Api Hashem? The Ksev Api Hashem Nosnoi Esir Esheshal. Hakadosh Baruch Hu consented to give him the city that he requested as Timna Serach Bahar Ephraim. Ask the Gemara, Ksev. In one place it says Timna Serach, and another that's the pasuk in Yeshua. The Ksev, the pasuk in Shoftim calls it Timna Cheres. Answers the Gemara. So what was it? Cheres or Cheres? Says the Gemara, Amar Blaza, but Chila Perasek Cheres. Originally, the fruit that were produced in that land were dry, like earthenware. Lepsaif Perasem Masrichim. The fruit would spoil because they were so juicy and delicious, and if you left them, they would begin to spoil. V'ikadami, a different question, different answer. But tchila masrichim, on the contrary, at the beginning, the fruit that you of that place would spoil. Well, psoif, it was kacheres, it was strong like earthenware, it remained good. Kalev, what was the shear that Kalev received? The ksev yitna l'kalev as chevron, kashadiba moshe, v'yoris moshe, ashloisha b'nei anok. Says the Gemara, but how can we say that Kalev got chevron? Wasn't chevron ir miklet havoi? Wasn't chevron ir miklet? Answers the Gemara, what is meant to mean is omrabaya pravo, the suburbs around Chevron. The ksev asteya ir vasatre v'chatzi reho, he got the suburbs around Chevron as his shear. Says the Gemara, Echra ben vechra bas benachla, both a son and a daughter, as we've been learning in our shiurim, are entitled to Yerusha. Ela, Shaben noitel pishnayim, the son gets a double shear benachseyav, ven noitel shnayim benachseyim. The Gemara, of course, will explain what this means. It refers, as we're going to learn, regarding Hilchas Bechaira, that a son gets a double share in his father's Yerusha as a Bechar, not by his mother's share. Vabonos, and the daughter of somebody who passed away. So even though, as we've learned so many times, a daughter does not get Yerusha in a place that there are sons. Vabonos, even though they don't get Yerusha, Nezoinus, Nechseav, the father's estate, supports them, gives them mezainis. That even if at the price, as the Rashbam, that the sons will be left with nothing, we first have to support the daughter. Then in mezainis menachseim, but that halacha that they get from the father's estate is only from a father's estate and not from a mother, not from a mother's estate. And as we learned in Masechet Ksubos, there are three things that a daughter is entitled to. She's entitled, as we just learned, mezonos, for sustenance, that clothing, and nedunya, that when she gets married, that the estate is supposed to give her what she needs to be able to get married. Says the Gemara, Mai, what is meant when the Mishnah said, Echer ben v'achar bas l'nachla? If we're going to say that the Mishnah meant to teach us the Yarsi Kedadi, that they get an equal share, says the Gemara, but we learned on Daf Kuf Tezvav, Hatana ben Kaidim Labas. Not only does the son come before the daughter, but we learned that Ko Yoitse Yerechoi Shal Ben Kaidim Labas. All of the descendants of the son come before the daughter. Simen Nafsham, Aram Nachem Yitzchak Kama. Echer Ben Vecher Abbas. Both a son and a daughter, Neutlin mit Roy Kemuchsuk, that not, they get a share in everything that is in the estate. And when we speak about everything that's in the estate, says the Gemara, what we mean to say is that not only what is there at the time of death, but everything that's going to come later, anything that accrues to the state. Ask the Gemara, but Hanami Tanina, that we also is a halacha that we've already learned. Because we learned in the Mishnah Daf Kuf Zayin on the base, when we were speaking about the Benoy Tzolofchad, we learned Benoy Tzolofchad, not with Shloisha Chalokim Benachla, got three shears in Etz Yisroel, Chelik Aviyam Shayim Yoyitz Mitzrayim, they got the shear of Tzolofchad, who was from the Yoyitz Mitzrayim, Chalkoi, and his shear, Im Echa Benichsei Chefer, that he was also, the grandfather was from the Yoyitz Mitzrayim. So we see that the granddaughters got a shear not only in what the father, what was there, but what came later. Void, my, what is Pshat the Mishnah when it says, El Shaben Noitel Pishnayim Benachsei Aviv, Ben Noitel Pishnayim Benachsei Aim? That we're not, how does that relate to a son's Yerusha versus a daughter's Yerusha? El Amra Papa, Hachkam, this is the way to understand the Mishnah. Echer Ben V'Achar Bas, both a son and a daughter, Noitel Chelik Bechaira, they get the shear that the father was a Bechor. If the father was a Bechor and he passed away before his father passed away, and now his father passes away, so not only do this person's descendants get his shear, but they get his share as a Bechor. But that's the Gemara, Hanami Tanina. Hanami Tanina. That too was taught when we learned the halachas of the story of Benos B'Lafchad. Because we learned that since Lafchad was a Bechor, he was a Bechor to his father, Chafer, Notel Shnei Chalokim. He got two shares in Chafer's share in Eretz Yisrael because he was the Bechor of Chafer. Void, another question, according to Rapoport's interpretation of the Mishnah, Ella, what does it have to do with the word Ella? What does it have to do with the Sefer? Like that question we asked before. Ella and Rashi Hakam, this is what Mishnah means to say. Echad ben ben abonim, vachabas ben abonis. If there's a son or a daughter, in a case where there are no sons. So son amongst all sons who are Yarshim, or a daughter amongst daughters when the daughters are the Yarshim. Im Omar, if the father said before he passed away, I want this child, Yerish Kol Nechasei, I want this child to get everything, Devarim Kayamim. Because since the person he's singling out is a Yerish, is somebody who's entitled to the Yerusha, so since this individual is entitled to some of the Yerusha, that's why the father could give him as more or less than he's entitled to. And many Rishonim say that the same halacha would apply to a Bechor. That even though we're learning that a Bechor, we keep on learning that a Bechor gets Pishnayim, a Bechor gets a double portion. But what we're learning here now is that even though the Bechor gets the double portion, if the father wants to not give the Bechor the double portion, he may do so. But we're learning as long as the person that he's giving to is a legitimate Yairish, says the Gemara. Whose opinion is that? Keman, Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika, that we're going to learn a Mitzvah Shem Mandaf Kuf Lamed, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika says that the father can do so. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, Haktani Lal Kaman, that's a Mishnah we're going to learn. The Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika Omer, Im Omer Amish Royal Yarshay, if somebody changed the division to somebody who deserves a Yerusha Dvarav Kayamim. If he said Amish Eina Yoyal Roshay, Rav Yochanan Breika says if he chose to give it to somebody who really isn't supposed to be a Yerush at all, ain't Dvarav Kayamim, then we don't follow that. So again, the question is, what is Amish? Why would the Mishnah say a halacha that we already learned? The Chitema. So you'll want to say that the reason our Mishnah taught us this halacha, because we want to have a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika. But ask the Gemara, and what's the value of a Stam Mishnah? Because we know that the halacha always follows a Stam Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Stam v'achach machlekesi. But this would be a case that our Mishnah would be a Stam Mishnah following Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika. And then the Mishnah on Daf Kuflamid would be teaching us a Machloikis. And the halacha is that Stam V'achach Machloikis, if we first have a Stam Mishnah and then we have a Machloikis, ain't halacha k'stam, then it's not considered like a Stam Mishnah. Because the fact that Rebbe put a Mishnah with a Machloikis afterwards is an indication that Rebbe wanted to say that this should not be the halacha. So, there's no point in mentioning this halacha here, because to teach us this din, we're already going to learn a Daf Kuf Lamed. And it's not going to be considered like a Stam Mishnah. And the next question, as we keep on repeating, is Ella. What is the word Ella that the Mishnah continues saying makes sense with this Pshat in the Mishnah? And therefore concludes the Gemara, what is Pshat in the Mishnah? Ella Amma Mabra, Vashi Yochkama, Echar Ben Vechar Bas, Shovim b'nichsei av, sons and daughters, yarshin mother's estate and father's estate. Again, sons get the entire Yerusha where there's no daughters. But if there are no sons, the daughters get the Yerusha, and they all divide the Yerusha. El Sheben, but there's a special halacha of the Bechor, Sheben noitel pishnayim b'nichsei av, a son is entitled to the double portion as a Bechor, but not the halacha doesn't apply by nichsei aim, that The Torah says, when Torah introduces the halacha of Pishnayim v'Bechor, the Torah says, V'yol duloi bonim. So V'yol duloi, only to a father is there, only to a, by a father is the halacha b'chayra. There is no halacha by the estate of a mother when we speak about b'chayra, the Pishnayim.